Welcome to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
an ongoing conversation
with ministry leaders
about embracing complexity
and uncertainty
with joy
and faithfulness.
Hi, friends. This is Adam Borneman with the Ministry Collaborative, and I'm thrilled to finally be able to sit down with my new friends and colleagues, Natalie Gonzalez, Edgar Vergara, and Yvette Torres. I think the simplest way to do this would just to have each of you introduce yourself, share with our listeners who you are, where you are, and your role in ministry right now.
My name is Natalie Gonzalez. I live in a small town called Kitchell, North Carolina. I am a certified business and life coach. I am an author and a pastor. I've been serving in ministry for over 10 years, and I am also now a facilitator with the Ministry Collaborative and have been enjoying this time getting to know everyone.
My name is Yvette Torres. I'm a certified missionary with the United Methodist Church in North Carolina, and I am also the founder of a self-help group, Enciende la Luz. This year, we celebrate 10 years of opening our doors to help people.
My name is Edgar Vergara Millan. I'm planting pastor of Iglesia La Semilla here in Durham, a United Methodist faith community. I am thrilled and thankful for the opportunity to serve with the Ministry Collaborative and very excited to share this journey with Natalie and Yvette.
Having got a chance to speak with you all in recent months just about the ministry context you're in, share with our listeners just a little bit about the type of work you all are doing, where you are, and just describe for us a little bit about that ministry.
So I was pastoring in the United Methodist Church for about like 4 years, and also working in ministry at the United Methodist Church for a little over like 9-10 years for a good while. And so last year I was pastoring and life coaching simultaneously. And about 6 months ago, I decided to transition from pastoring to full-time life coaching and writing. And so last year I released my first book in English and in Spanish. And so in the ways that serving others one-on-one is such a beautiful and process and meaningful ways to be able to touch and help shape the lives that the people are desiring to achieve for themselves.
Amen. Thanks, Natalie. And Yvette, I know that you do some work with support groups, among other things.
Claro que sí.
Of course. From my own personal experience, I had to look within for emotional support. I would like to tell a little bit about myself. I was kidnapped, and that affected me a lot emotionally and spiritually. So in the search of my own emotional recovery, I began to look for a lot of support throughout my life, and in that search, I discovered the 12-step program. Initially, I was a part of the 12-step group for 4 years. The 12 steps were really the source of transformation for me. It led me to find God in a significant way. In my personal studies, I found a program called Celebrate Recovery. And so I started that ministry in the church where I started and became a Christian again. At that same time, they invited me to be a part of taking some courses at Duke University Divinity School, like preaching, Bible study, and pastoral counseling. And I also became a lay minister. So I became much stronger spiritually, and it's something that has always helped me. And I found myself. I mean that personally, and I found something that has always helped me. Since before arriving to the United States, in my country, Mexico, my main focus has been people, mainly people who experience sexual violence. And I have realized that the profession does not matter, the economic status does not matter. I've realized that all human beings need help. So for that reason, I have continued with the ministry, and now, by the grace of God, I am trying to help human beings in another way. As I focus on studying emotional intelligence and helping myself a little with other types of literature, I was invited to give presentations in Mexico and throughout the United States.
Yeah, and this is what I love about the three of you is that having heard more about Natalie and Yvette, Edgar, I know that you bring a very complementary set of skills and experiences to this, and I'd love for you to share as well about the things you're doing where you are.
Of course, of course. Well, I have been here in North Carolina since 2009, when my wife and I moved to this state, into the United States, from our home country of Mexico. I came here to study in seminary here at Duke Divinity School. Ever since graduating in 13, I was appointed as a church planter in Vance County in here in North Carolina to plant a mission that would serve Hispanic Latinx communities. And I did that work over there in that area of the state for 6 years. After that, around 2018, I was appointed here to the Durham area to do similar work. And the result of that work is Iglesia La Semilla, or the Church of the Seed, which takes its name from the gospel language of God's kingdom being like a seed, which is planted and it germinates, sprouts, and then grows out of proportion by God's grace. And so the focus of my service and ministry right now is to offer Iglesia La Semilla as a space for those that have not had the best experience in terms of institutional religion, and particularly Christianity, to find a space where they are not only accepted or welcome, but where they can contribute to God's vision of justice and equity and mercy, compassion for the world here in this area of North Carolina. We focus right now on community health work ministry, food justice ministry, and we are just starting as a worshiping community, as a community for faith formation. Recently started weekly worship services in the month of February of this year. We focus on justice, education, and health. Those are our focus areas. They're very broad, because in my limited experience in ministry here in North Carolina, 90% of the time when an individual or a family has come to a church where I have been serving, coming from the immigrant community, the request for support or accompaniment has been around those areas, issues of justice, education, or health. I'm very grateful for the ministry collaborative. What I have encountered in ministry is that ministry is terribly isolating and exhausting, and it can take over your life, literally, you know. And so we need spaces for rest, spaces for fellowship, community building, spaces to just be humans, you know, where we can find support. That's one of the reasons why I invited Natalie and Yvette to serve as co-facilitators, because they have been precisely that to me and my family, and they are very gifted in doing so.
Amen. Justice, education, health. I love that concise way of summarizing it. I'd love to hear from you all. What do you see the Spirit of God doing with those things where you are? What are you hopeful about?
Justicia.
Justice. I observe it with the people that we support, that I support within my ministry. They seek a lot of justice because their alcoholism, their drug addiction, at times their nuclear family, and they are people who are hurt greatly, that they are only looking to escape from their pain and their injustice. And when they come to a self-help group, I feel like they see justice. They have been stigmatized, stressed, or even oppressed by their own families, associations, or relationships. So they come looking for justice when they approach this ministry. All that damage they try to work on, the physical, spiritual, and emotional. So it's a credit to the Trinity that I see when they're really accepting and trying to change. In terms of health, the people who adhere to the ministry are addicted in some way. So in finding freedom from addiction, be it alcohol, drugs, or any other, they are being educated. They are learning. We are all learning to live. We learn to handle pain. We began to learn to educate in order to guide and drive ourselves, really learning where the pain is, what our soul wounds are, what our character defects are. So we educate ourselves because there is a lot of ignorance due to pain. And when I give those presentations, they absorb that education that they never imagined knowing. So I think all three things go hand in hand.
And Natalie, I want to bring you in on this too, because I know that in your work combining pastoral work and life coach work, this is the sort of thing that you see play out in people's lives, justice, education, healthcare, and just making progress on a number of fronts. So love to hear your thoughts on what the Spirit's doing in these as well.
Yeah, so I don't think it's hard to see that, especially within the last 3 years and how this world has shifted in such ways since the beginning of the pandemic. And we are seeing how the brokenness that is in this world that wasn't, I guess we hit it better pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
And so with all that has happened and the way that so many churches and communities have, you know, rally together to support the community that has been hurting so much, not just individually, but as a church, that people are seeking more out of themselves and more from their church. Like there's the sense of emptiness, a sense of a lack of true community that wasn't there or didn't feel like they had it before, and forcing us as pastors during the pandemic to really think outside the box on how we were able to reach our parishioners. And so I see how God is causing us to move and pivot in ways that we were not before, and to reach his people. And, you know, when I work with my clients one-on-one, there is that desire to have that deeper connection with God, with their family, health-wise, not just physical health, but mental health as well, to have be in a better state and frame of mind. Because I believe so much before pre-pandemic, a lot was taken granted for. So that's the way I see that God is moving us to do things completely different and reach and touch the lives of people in ways that is not the ordinary.
Mm. Edgar, anything to add?
Sure. Well, this is what I'm passionate about. You know, I can speak for hours about these focus areas, but we have a community health work ministry. And so the heart of our work, the heart of what we do is our community health workers. And so these are individuals who are members of the communities themselves, the communities that we serve. And so they're not coming from outside in as outside experts, quote-unquote experts, but they are community members that care about the health and well-being, the general well-being of their neighbors. And so we began this ministry as a response to the pandemic. So the main focus was COVID-19 education, prevention, awareness, testing, and then vaccinations when vaccines became a reality, you know. And they have been outstanding in the work they do, contributing directly to the vaccination of hundreds of thousands of North Carolina residents, particularly members of historically marginalized communities, like the Hispanic, Latina, Latino, Latinx community. But what has been wonderful about that is the majority of our team, which is a total of a little over 30 community health workers we have trained and deployed, but the majority of them have been certified with the state. And as part of the certification process, they had to create a project and present it. And that is the heart of their passion for community health work. And so they, as a theme for their projects, you know, have diverse areas of focus, mental health, chronic illness, diabetes, et cetera, you know. And so we are currently looking for support so that they can continue their work in the health areas that they are passionate about. In terms of the justice work here in North Carolina, it seems as though like every session of the General Assembly has a version of an anti-immigrant bill that comes through. It's pretty much the same bill that they just, you know, change a few lines here and there. And so we do our best to contribute to the effort that is going on to oppose these types of bills or this type of legislation that weakens the state of North Carolina, mm-hmm. making it a state of fear instead of a state of grace and welcome.
You've alluded to some of these, but what is unique about the ministry context that you want people to be aware of or better understand?
I think in the context, in the way that I've been working with people, what is not really being acknowledged or swept under the rug within the church is how many people are hurt by the church. And the way that the church is suffering as it is from people not wanting to be a part of it is because of what they have experienced within the church. I've heard story after story after story of why people choose not to, and helping, walking alongside some people I work with within church or clients that our faith is not according to what the actions of others, but there's a lot of church hurt that is being ignored.
Thanks, Natalie.
I think it is very difficult for Latino people to be in a country with a different language, with a different culture, where obviously there are so many fears because unfortunately they do not have a social security number. So even if they wanted to seek help, they are very limited. And that's where Enciende Una Luz steps in. Because it does not matter where you come from, what your religion is, or what your past was. Seeing that it is not just solely having addictions, but the emotional parts, having depression, having stress, and going through situations that make the decision to seek help difficult.
serving in ministry in God's kingdom with immigrant communities, and particularly with the Hispanic Latina, Latino, Latinx community, something that has to be said about that context is that in the church world, we have to move away from a paternalistic type of ministry engagement or service and the attitude of having the savior complex and saying, we're here to help you. We're here because you need help. You are our mission. And we must shift to understanding that immigrant communities, Hispanic, Latino, Latino, Latinx communities, and other sister immigrant communities are an asset to God's kingdom, are an asset to the church, be it local church, be it a regional church, be it the kingdom. Immigrant communities are an asset, and they should be given the space that is needed to thrive in God's kingdom.
Amen. It's such a blessing to be able to hear from you all, sharing some more about your own personal stories, and also to share with us a little bit more about the community that you're in. And I'm extraordinarily grateful for the ways that you all are putting your heads, hearts, and hands together to be of service in that place. Thanks again for this short conversation, and I hope we can do it again sometime.
No, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for the invitation. We appreciate it.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a project of the Macedonian Ministry Foundation.
The Ministry Collaborative nurtures a national network
of pastors and congregations
committed to faithful,
creative,
and courageous engagement in their communities.
Our producer is Marthane Sanders.
To find out more about our work of cultivating leadership that makes a difference
in congregations and communities,
visit our website
at www.ministrycollaborative.org.